If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke again this week. The Gospel of Luke. Today we'll be in the 8th chapter, Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. Luke 8, verse 40. Once you find it, if you'll stand with me, in honor of God's holy word, I'll give you a moment. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Luke 8:40, the Lord tells us in his holy word, he says, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Just then there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the crowd surround you and press in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me, for I noticed that the power had gone out from me.' When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer.' When Jesus heard this, he replied, 'Do not fear. Only believe, and she will be saved.' When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him, except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. They were all weeping and wailing for her, but he said, 'Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and called out, 'Child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and she got up at once. Then he directed them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened." This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this word, for your word. May it pierce our very souls and spirits, that we may be holy people, Lord, set apart for your work. Lord, as your redeemed children, help us to live by your word. Lord, not by the sword of this world, but by the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Give me the words I should preach this morning, to give us all hearts and minds and ears open to your ways. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to Luke chapter 8. In verse 40, where our Lord Jesus Christ encounters two women, a girl and a woman, in need, in desperate need of his healing touch, of his healing power, as we all are in need of his healing touch and healing power every day. In verse 40, he says, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they're all waiting for him." Glory to God. They're welcome Jesus. Oh, what good it would do for people to welcome Jesus. It'd do us all some good to welcome him in our homes, welcome him in our lives. Every day it says they were all waiting on him. We need to be waiting on the Lord, the Bible says. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord will renew ourselves by the word of God. He says here they welcomed him. Praise God for that. So often that people don't welcome Jesus. They didn't welcome him back then. Often he's not welcome today. Let's welcome him every day in our hearts and lives and homes. Is there any place in your home he's not welcome? Amend it. Is there any place in your soul he's not welcome? Mend it by the blood of Jesus. The crowd welcome him, for they're all waiting on him. Verse 41, just then there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He's one of the very leaders of the synagogue. It says he fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him. How many times have we not fell at Jesus' feet when we should have? How many times could we have? The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. How much of the Holy Ghost could we have if we'd simply ask? Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find, Jesus says. This man fell at Jesus' feet and begged him how many things could be healed in our lives if we'd come to him by faith. How many prayers could be answered that have never been prayed? This man fell at Jesus' feet. Let's fall at his feet spiritually. Let's fall to him. Begged him, he says. He prayed to him to come to his house. Verse 42, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. It was worth praying for. He cared about his daughter enough to go to Jesus on her behalf. We ought to, as God's children, go to Jesus on behalf of all our family, friends, all these lost people around us. He loved her enough to go to the one, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that could heal her. He knew she could. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come. He knew he could make a difference. I know he's made a difference in my life and so many lives of others. There's so many people that don't know him as Savior that we should be pleading and begging Jesus to come and heal. He begged him, it says, to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, and she was dying. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Praise God, they're pressing in. So often they're running away when it got hard. They're pressing in at this circumstance. In verse 43, now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages. He's heading that way to heal that girl, that 12-year-old girl. Been suffering from hemorrhages, or as King James says, an issue of blood, for 12 years. 12 years is a long time. When you had a hemorrhage or issue of blood or whatnot, Leviticus declared you as unclean back then. 12 years is a long time to be unclean. 12 years is a long time to not be able to fellowship with other people, not be able to do so many things. 12 long years. It says, though she had spent all she had on physicians, think about that, every penny she had, no one could cure her, and she's just getting worse, as another gospel tells us. She spent everything she had on physicians. They couldn't cure her. People can't cure, but Jesus can. He says here in verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes. Back then they had the long tassels, the fringes they're commanded to back in the Old Testament to wear. As a testimony in Numbers, it tells us they were to have those on the garments, big old long, beautiful, they were tied beautiful knots. They were to remind them to keep the commandments of God. Jesus wore them, no doubt. As the Old Testament people wore them, it was significant. Sign of power, sign of authority of his God as God's people. She came up, touched the fringe of his clothes, begging, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Immediately it stopped. Praise God, she had enough faith to come to him immediately for a need. We need to come to God immediately, every day. Don't tarry, don't wait. Don't let it get worse in your life. She tried everything else. She tried all the physicians of the world, but they came up short. You know, there's only one great physician that can heal our soul, that can heal what's wrong with us. This sin in our lives, that's Jesus. Don't wait. Immediately, her hemorrhage was stopped. Immediately, she was healed. Immediately, we're healed when we come to Jesus Christ. When we come to him by faith, it makes a difference in our lives. Our sin-sick soul can be healed if we'll come to him. Then Jesus asked, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and press in on you. There's people all around you. How on earth are we going to figure that one out? But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me. Power left him. You know, power leaves him and comes down to us when we get on our knees and pray to the Lord. When we seek his holy face, seek me and you shall find me. When you search for me with all your heart, when we seek God by faith, put our trust in him, it makes a difference in our lives. Seek him while he may be found. It's one of these days it's not going to be found anymore. One of these days the book of history will be closed and it's too late to come to Jesus for your need. It's too late to follow him. Do it right now while there's still time. As in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man comes, Jesus says. But he says, someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out of me. He breathed on them, the Bible says, to his apostles and gave them the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Power comes from Jesus, not from me, not from you, not from some worldliness, but from Jesus Christ alone. Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me. So many times God's children are weak spiritually. We're weak. You got a little sapling. Like you go out in the woods and see them, a little bit of saplings, a little oak tree starting to grow. That's like sin growing in our lives. It's sowing a seed. That devil's trying to sow seeds in your life of sin. He's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan, but the devil does too. He wants to see your soul taken from you and your entire being cast into the lake of fire. He wants you to go to hell, but Jesus wants you in heaven. And he's done everything. He's died on the cross of Calvary to give redemption. We got to be careful, not be spiritually weak. Where does our power come from? It comes from Jesus. We got a little sapling of sin growing in our lives, and we don't even bother pushing it over, unrooting it, getting the root cause out of our heart. what are we going to do when that thing is one of these great, big, beautiful oak trees that we see? You know, it's not beautiful when it's a tree of sin that we've allowed to lodge in our heart. She went immediately to Jesus. Go immediately to him and get this power of the Holy Spirit to live through us, to live in holiness and righteousness. Without holiness, Hebrews tells us, no one will see the Lord. Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me. We need to get the power of the Holy Spirit to live in holiness every day, to live for him, to truly love him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's all, love is such a misused word, ain't it? This is wonderful Valentine's Day, you know. We're supposed to love each other as God's children, love our families and friends. What a wonderful thing love is. And we know the love of God. For God is love. Love is a divine thing. It comes from Jesus Christ, his love shed for us on Calvary. That's love. Jesus, others, yourself is joy. And we had the love of God showing forth through him. But brothers and sisters, love is a misused word. People say, oh, I love tacos. I love chocolate. I love this. I love that. The world will use all kinds of the word love. They love to substitute lust with the word love. When God is different, God's love is truly caring differently. It's a difference. There's a difference in our life when we're full of the love of God. We love him first. We love him because he first loved us. Jesus loved this lady. He loved both these people that he healed. He loves me and you. And he desires, the Bible says he desires all people to be saved. He gives us the choice. He desires all his children to live holy lives. But he gives us the choice. Will we go immediately? This woman came immediately to Jesus. Let's go immediately to him for all our needs. Every need, every day, go to Jesus. He cares. He cares about us. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, as the hymn says. He says, someone touched him and noticed that power. God wants us to have the Holy Spirit power to live for him. In verse 47, when the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence. Praise God, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. She needed healed. She immediately went to him. When all else failed, she went to Jesus. How many times? I've heard it said so many times. All else we can do now is pray. That ought not to be so, brothers and sisters. Prayer is not our last resort. We got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, who created heaven and earth, who sent Jesus to die for us, and that's going to be our last resort. Brothers and sisters, he's not our last resort. He ought to be our first call. Immediately she went to Jesus. How much trouble could we save in our lives? So we'll immediately go to Jesus. Don't tarry. Don't tarry around with all these things. All we got to do is pray. It isn't supposed to be a mopey thing. We got a wonderful Savior, Jesus, who loves for us. Let's go to him first. Go in prayer first. At the power of the Holy Spirit first. Don't tarry. Go to Jesus immediately. What do we do if we got sin in our lives and we tarry? It grows and it grows and it grows like an infectious cut until it kills us. Brothers and sisters, go to Jesus first. He'll supply our needs. She saw it. She could not remain hidden. She came trembling, falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And now, how she had been immediately healed. Praise God, she was healed when she put her faith in him. He heals our sin-sick souls when we put our faith in him. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She believed that he could heal her, and she went straight to him. There's so many people out there, it's a sad thing. You tell them about Jesus' redemption. Oh, that's for somebody else. I'm too far gone. Nobody's ever too far gone for the blood of Jesus. As we just read in our psalm today, what's he do with our transgressions? As far as the east is from the west is what he says. Glory to God. Here we'll read that thing again, that verse. In Psalm 103 says, well, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It says here, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. If he did, we'd all be in a place called hell for eternity. But he doesn't do that, it says. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. He's got a great love for me and you. He's got a great love for us. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? They're opposites. They never meet. It's gone. Forever gone. So far, he removes our transgressions from us. That's what he does when we come to him in faith. He removes our transgressions. They're that far away. How far away is that? It doesn't exist. It's how far away it is. He says, as the Father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He's our Heavenly Father for a reason. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit told us in the Word, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you are sealed unto redemption. It grieves Heavenly Father, it grieves the Holy Ghost when His children are living in sin, when they're living in disobedience, when they don't come to Him. He said, when you sin, come straight to God. Come immediately with your need to God. Don't tarry, don't wait, don't spend all your money on everything else. Go straight to Heavenly Father. He says, therefore, He knows we were made. He knows how we were made, the Bible tells us. Well, of course He does, because He made us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He remembers that we are dust. For dust we are, Genesis tells us, and to dust we shall return. He knows we're measly little dust, but He loves us anyways. He knit us together. He created us. He said all of creation is good, but when He came and created mankind, He said it is very good. He loves us. He loves me and you. You're created in the image of God. Go immediately with His need. Heavenly Father loves you. Don't get stuck in the miry clay of this world, or you'll get your hoof rot and fall away. Go straight to God. Go straight to Jesus. Daughter, He said, your faith has made you well. She was a daughter of Almighty God. I'm a son of Almighty God. You're a son or a daughter of Almighty God. Go to Him with your need immediately. Your faith has made you well. Not only your faith has made you well. Notice here what He says. Go in peace. For being made well, God desires us to live in peace. The Bible says, my peace I give unto you. Jesus wants to give you peace. It's the Father's goodwill to give us the kingdom. It's the Father's goodwill to give us His peace. Have you got the peace of God? The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Notice here, He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's preventing the peace of God from so many times from ruling out our hearts? We can blame it on the devil and the demons and the legions of hell. But in truth, if you're a child of God, the only thing that's keeping you from having the peace of God is yourself. You stand in the way when we don't trust Him and obey when we don't put our faith in Him. We're not going to have peace. But your faith has made you well, daughter, He says. Go in peace, and she receives a peace. When we're made well, when we have our faith in Him, that's how we can have the peace. Have you got peace? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Seek God, and the peace that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in the knowledge and strength of Jesus Christ our Savior, the Lord tells us. In verse 49, yet while He was still speaking, He just healed this woman because of her faith. He just healed her. She came to Him. He was so willing to do miracles in people's life. He was so willing to heal them. He's so willing to heal us of our sin-sick souls. To this very day, what happened when He went to Nazareth? He did only few. Healed a few sick folk, the Bible tells us. He did very few miracles, it says, because of their lack of faith, because they didn't believe. They didn't want to believe Him. But elsewhere, He did mighty works. He'll do mighty works in our life to this very day. He just did one here. Verse 49, while He was still speaking. He wasn't even finished there. He said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. While He's still speaking, verse 49 tells us, someone came from the leader's house. That's Jairus' house, as we just read in the earlier portion of our reading today, where he was on his way to the leader's house to heal a daughter. Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer. It's too late, they thought. He's dead. She's dead. Done for. Dead in a hammer. Graveyard dead. Don't trouble the teacher any longer. There ain't no use. Verse 50. When Jesus heard this, He replied, do not fear. Only believe, and she will be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. He says to us this very day, do not fear. Don't be fearing. Don't be afeard, He says. Only believe. Praise God. You know what else the Bible says is in Revelation? He says, in the list of people that was cast in a lake of fire, this is a very grievous thing. It was the fearful, He said. The fearful. Are we living in boldness, trusting in Jesus, putting our faith in Him? Or are we living in fear constantly, everywhere we go? Let's live not in fear. He says, do not fear. Don't have a lack of faith. That's what He's talking about in Revelation in here. People that didn't have faith, didn't put their faith in Jesus, don't even bother trusting God, but trusting in mankind or themselves, or even not trusting nothing. Do not fear, He says. Only believe. He tells us this very thing, same thing today. Don't fear, only believe. No matter what's going on in this world behind us, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us. Didn't the Lord's first go around? We got this plague going on around us. This ain't the Lord's first plague. He's dealt with a lot more of these than we ever have. This ain't the Lord's first go around with unrest in all kinds of places. He knows how to handle it. Do not fear, he says. Only believe. The Christians in the early church, when Emperor Nero was taking them out and burning them for to light up his garden, they weren't fearful. They believed God. It was counted them for righteousness. Do not fear. Are you prepared for whatever may come? To not fear. Not have lack of faith, but only believe. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, increase our faith, as that wonderful, genuine prayer in the gospel is. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Go to God in prayer and believe. Faith is an action thing. It's not a feeling. A lot of times people, I don't feel the presence of God. God's integrity is where his presence rests. God's integrity says, thus saith the Lord, out of the word of God, whether we feel it or not. Trust the Lord. Do not fear, he says, only believe. And she will be saved, he says. She will be. It's a promise. Verse 51, when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the children's father and mother, he says. They were all weeping and wailing for her. They were sad. She was done, they thought. But he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. She's not dead, she's just sleeping. It's just temporary. Bible all over the Word of God tells us over and over again, as it talks about in the second coming in Thessalonians, it says, don't worry about those that's passed on, for they're just sleeping. It's just temporary. The dead in Christ will rise first, and she rose, it says here. She's not dead, but sleeping. In verse 53, and they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but they didn't believe in their hearts that he could raise her up from the dead. They didn't believe it. They didn't have faith. Do not fear, only believe, he bids us. That woman there, we just read about being healed. She spent everything on physicians. She believed Jesus could heal her. She believed him. She believed God. Let's believe God. Abraham believed God. It was counted him for righteousness. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Genesis. When Abraham was taking old Isaac up there to be sacrificed, Isaac said, well, where's the lamb? Praise God. Abraham said, my son, our God will supply a lamb. He knew God. He knew his character. He knew God wasn't going to, in the end, make him kill old Isaac on that altar. He knew that he would supply a lamb, but he did everything all the way up. He had the knife in his hand, but he trusted God, and God did supply a lamb. He supplied us a lamb, Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. We need to not fear, but we need to believe. Trust in the Lord and immediately go to him with our needs. Help us, Lord. He says here, they were all weeping and wailing. No, that's sad. They did not. He said, do not weep, for she's not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. They mocked. They scorned. That's a sad thing. You know, it's a terrible thing when we reject God, when someone rejects God, calamity comes on and laugh. It says that in that day of the wicked, the Lord will mock and laugh in their calamity. That's sad because they refuse to follow him. Come to him. His gates, the throne room of mercy is always open. Go to him. They laughed at him. It's sad. What a sad thing, laughing at Jesus, knowing that she was dead. But he took her hand by the hand and called out, child, get up. Her spirit returned. She got up at once. We notice here her spirit returned. What happens when we die? Our spirit departs. When this old body of mine dies, whatever day it might be today, or might be 50 years down the road, who knows? When my body dies, when your body dies, unless the good Lord Jesus comes back out of the eastern sky, when our bodies die, our spirit departs. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible tells us, for his children. But to be absent in the body is not to be present with the Lord if you don't know him as Savior, if you're not putting your faith in him, if you fell away back to perdition. Brothers and sisters, stay close to him. Her spirit returned, it says, and she got up at once. Her spirit returned to her body. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Remember that one day this body is going to be dust unless the Lord comes back. So too shall yours. Her spirit returned, it says, because it had departed. She was done. And notice here, and she got up at once. Then he directed them to give her something to eat. You know, we too, spiritually, were just like her. He's dead in trespasses and sins. No hope. No peace. No joy. Nothing. Graveyard dead in the spirit. Straight on the path to hell. But praise God, when he redeemed us, he put a new spirit within us. He took our old stony heart out and put us a new one, made us new, a new creation. Notice here, we ought to do like she did. She got up at once. If we're born again, risen to walk in newness of Christ, we ought to get up, be about the Father's business. live in holiness. Then he directed them to give her something to eat. No doubt she's hungry after all that. She's dead and rose again. We ought to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus said, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled. We will be filled. Are you hungering and thirsting for it? The rivers of living waters out of Revelation tells us, any person that's thirsty may come. Isaiah says the very same thing about that place. The river of the Holy Spirit's power, the river of the Holy Spirit. We can receive all if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Her parents were astounded, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened. It's a sad thing as we go back up here to verse 41. Just then, therefore, a man named Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. He believed Jesus could heal her of sickness, but he didn't believe that he could heal her from the dead. Brothers and sisters, so often we limit God's power. We limit God's power in our lives. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and mercy through Jesus Christ. Don't limit God's power. We have a limitless God. We have a God beyond, he's even beyond time. He's past, present, future. He's not limited by that. He's limited by no means. Let's trust in him. And no matter what, we can always believe. Do not fear, he says. Only believe. That woman immediately went to him. He immediately went and saved this child. Her spirit returned. She got up at once. He directed them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded. We'll be astounded at the wonderful things that God wants to do in our lives. What's the limit on it? What was the limit on that woman here when she was going to all these physicians, all these other things? The limit was she never went to Jesus about it. She could have been cured before then if she went to Jesus. How many of our problems in our lives, spiritual problems most especially, could be healed if we'd only go to Jesus. If we'd only go to him. The Bible says he's not only the author, but he is the finisher of our faith. Let's trust in him. It's the Father's good will to give unto us the kingdom. The kingdom is not flesh and meat, but it's holiness, righteousness, and peace, Romans tells us. This is the Lord's will for us to be holy, be righteous. And he promises us that he'll work all things for the good of those that love God. If we love him, if we're called according to his purpose, which we are, if you're saved, you're called. Many are called. He's calling. We're chosen by the blood of Jesus. He'll work it for our good, and we can trust him. Her spirit returned because Jesus was there and healed her. That other woman immediately went to Jesus, and she was healed. Let's all bow our heads. Bible says that he shall supply all our needs. Have you got a need in your life today that you may be trying to take care of on your own? You may think you've got something wrong in your life, and you may think, well, I can take care of this on my own. I can quit at any time. I can get rid of it on my own. I don't need nobody's help. I don't need as some people have called Jesus, a crutch through life. Well, he's not a crutch, brothers and sisters. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's Jesus Christ, God's only Son who died on the cross of Calvary. We're in desperate need of him every day. And he loves us so very dearly. You can't do it on your own. We're in need of a Savior. We're in need of his love every day. Is there something in your life that you need healing from? Is there something in your life that's not whole? Take it to Jesus. Take a moment and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that no matter what comes in this world, you promise that you'll be with us even until the end of the age, Lord. And after that, we'll be all together in the New Jerusalem. We thank you, Father, that you care about us, Lord. You care about our life down here below. That you care about your children, Lord, and you care about all the lost. Help us to care of you. Help us to care about you and your ways and your word, and to truly hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, you promised in your word you'd take our iniquities and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, as far as the east is from the west, we thank you, Lord. Help us to live as risen people, Lord. As risen people, help us to live in fellowship with you every day, trusting you, walking with you, Lord. You promised that you'll walk with us. Lord, you said, as we read earlier in the service, that we have an advocate with you, Jesus the righteous. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, Lord. Help us as your children to come to you with every need in our lives, both when maybe it seems small to us or it seems too big for us. But Lord, help us to go them small and big and everything in between to your throne of mercy, Lord, as you tell us to pray without ceasing, Lord, to pray about everything. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people. Let's gather here together, Lord. We thank you. Bless those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, with your presence. Fill us up, Lord, with that river of living waters from Revelation, that we may hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for holiness, for your ways and your truth and your word, Lord. Help us to hunger and thirst for you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, strength, every bit of our being. Lord, we need that water, for we're parched in this deserted land, and our reservoir leaks so often. Help us, Lord, to be filled with you, and may our cup of the Holy Ghost may run over. Be with us as we depart from this place, and we depart with your peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you, Father. We thank you in the name above all names, the name of our redemption, our Redeemer, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll stand with me.